Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I would just love to say good morning to all of our listeners this morning. Good morning to Joyce, praise be unto God. Joyce here in the Maryland area, Joyce in New York. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago. Good morning to Rob in Pennsylvania. God bless you. Good morning to all of our listeners from New Vision for Life, Prophetess Dawn, Prophetess Kim, and so forth. You all know your names. Just wanted to say, give a shout out to these few that are here normally on a regular basis. We have new listeners with us today, but praise God, good morning to all of you. And, of course, to one of the most important good mornings goes to my co-host, and I'd like to say good morning to her right now. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. I'm well. How are you?
Absolutely marvelous. Thank you for asking.
Amen. That's awesome to hear.
Amen. You have any shout-outs that you want to give?
Just want to say good morning to everyone. It's a beautiful day, and we are alive. So that in itself is a lot to rejoice and give God praise over. And just want to say, you know, good morning to the same individuals that you said good morning to. Thank you for your loyalty. Thank you for joining us every Saturday. Thank you for just sharing the information that we share with you all. So we appreciate the time that you give up on a Saturday morning where you could still be asleep. Because trust me, it's many times where I want to stay asleep on a Sunday. But I know that this is Saturday. But I know that this is the platform that God has given us to reach those and to evangelize. So I don't mind, you know, giving up an hour. You know, I can always go back to sleep when it's over. So, you know, we just praise God. And thank you, Apostle Banks, for just your love and everything that you do for people that, you know, you have relationship with, and us at New Vision. We greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate you.
Oh, bless you, my dear. Bless you. Thank you so very much. And, of course, I appreciate all of you as well. You know, God has a way of divinely connecting people together, and always with a purpose, always with a purpose. And, of course, there will be some people that we're connected to that was not designed for us to be in long relationships with, but they serve a purpose in the time that we are associated with them. So I just thank God, you know, for what he has done, especially in our relationship and with, you know, several others that are on this line this morning. You know, the faithfulness. I still can't get over the faithfulness of Lady Joyce, you know, being here with us every single week. Now, what is 7 or 8 years now? I can't believe we've been on the radio for 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That shocks me when I think about it. I mean, you know, time has gone by so, so fast. But praise God. You know, I am grateful for who he is. I'm very grateful. Now, beloved, I'm going to ask you, if you would, honey, to open us up in prayer. I don't see our guest online yet, so I'm going to give her a call. But I'm going to ask if you would, please, to go ahead and open us in prayer.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your marvelous name, O God. Lord, we just thank you. We honor you and we bless you, Lord God. We thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing, Father, even right now, Lord God. Even if we don't see it or feel it, Lord, we know that you're working. We know that you don't make mistakes. We know that you love us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I just ask, Lord, for your peace just to overwhelm us right now, Lord God, that anything that we may be struggling with or going through, that our kids may be going through, Lord God, that you would give us the strength to endure, to keep moving, to keep pushing, and not give up, Lord, in the name of Jesus, no matter how hard the test, Lord God, or the storm. Lord, when we call on you, we know that you are our helper and that you will see us through, Father God. But we need your strength, God. We need your patience. We need your endurance, Lord God. We need all those things, Lord God. So, Father, I ask that you fill us up, Lord God, with all of those things, God. Remove any doubt, anxiety, worry, depression, Lord God. Remove these things now, Lord God, so that we may live, Lord God, that we may experience the goodness of who you are, that we may hold on to the promises, Lord God, that you've given us, Lord. So, Father, we just give you praise this morning, and we just thank you, Lord, that you're working things out, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that you're opening doors. We thank you, Lord God, that you're making a way. We thank you, Lord God, that you love us unconditionally, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, as you see each and every one of us, Lord God, in our struggles and our pains and our hurts, Lord God, our childhood traumas, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray that you will just continue to show us, give us visions and dreams, Lord God, of things that will help us move forward, Lord God, that would help us deal with those things if we have not dealt with them, Lord God, if we have not dealt with unresolved pain and hurt, Lord God, help us to deal with these things that we may live, Father God, that we may live, that we may breathe, Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. So, Father, I just give you praise right now, Lord God, and know that there is none like you. I know, Father God, that sometimes where we want all the answers at one time. We don't want to wait. We're impatient, Father. And I ask, Lord God, that you forgive us right now, Lord God. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, those done in thought, word, or deed in the name of Jesus. Lord God, forgive us. Help us to have repentant hearts right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, that when we don't understand, and when we feel like you're taking too long, Lord God, that you would just continue to push us, Lord God. And, Lord, forgive us, Lord, for the things that we think and say, Lord God, in our time of frustration and irritation over a situation, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. So we just thank you right now that you are the greatest Father that we could ever have and that we could ever know, Lord God. Help us to love, Lord God, and have patience with others, Lord God, even in situations, Lord God. We have to have patience. We have to know your timing. We have to hear your voice and know when it's time for us to move or time for us to be still, Lord God. And we just give you praise because there is none like you, Jesus. There is none like you in all the earth, oh God. There is none like you, Jesus. And so we just continue, oh God, to just thank you and honor you and bless you and love you, Father, because there is none like you. And Lord, help us to bless others. Help us to love others with the unconditional love that you show us, Father. No matter their attitudes, no matter, Lord God, how they act towards us, or Lord, we just know that sometimes people just need to know that you love them, Father. And many of times that will come through us. So let us not take the actions and behaviors of others personally, Lord God. But we don't know what they went through in their childhood or what they're going through now. And it doesn't give them a pass to treat people any kind of way, Lord God. But God, just help us to have compassion, Lord God, for those that may be unlovable, Lord God, because at one point we were unlovable too, Lord. So we just thank you even now for your grace and your mercy. We thank you even now that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, we just bless you and we honor you and we love you, Lord God, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you. Well, Saints, as you know, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And always, always, you know, we want to share and talk about things that you might have on your heart, and we want to hear from you. So what is on your heart to our heart to God's heart? And prayerfully, God speaks back to us. We have a lot of prophets that are on our line, and therefore, you know, the prophetic word will come forth, prayer comes forth. We have guests on our line that have loads of information that they're able to share with you, and so we pray that we are meeting your needs. Remember, I've said to you before, any topic that you would like to hear us discuss, email me at heart to heart at newvisionforlife.com. That's heart to heart at newvisionforlife.com. So you may email me there, and we will take in consideration the topics that you are asking us to speak on. Well, this morning, we have the privilege of having with us Pamela Blackman, who is the CEO and founder of Blake's Promise Inc., and also Breaking the Silence of Narcissistic Behavior. And I want to say good morning to Pamela. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning. Great. How are you?
I am blessed, honey. I am blessed and highly favored. And I want to thank you so very much for being our guest this morning. This was a very quick put together, you know, with me spending time with Jackie yesterday. And she mentioned your programs to me, and I was very interested. And so I thank you for accepting the invitation to share with us on this day. So thank you again so very, very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation as well.
Amen. Amen. All righty. Okay, we have here your first program, Blake's Promise, Inc. Could you please tell us, what is Blake's Promise?
Absolutely. Blake's Promise is a women's, we service women that have and families that have lost children. So we provide grief counseling, peer counseling, one-on-one services where we offer support during your pregnancy, especially to high-risk mothers, and support them throughout their entire pregnancy. From the moment that they're told that they have a high-risk pregnancy, we accompany them with doctor's appointments, any form of support that they possibly need so that we can make sure that we're educating them, make sure that they're aware of any medical things that need to be taken care of. It's as small as medication. If they need transportation to the hospital, if they need someone to speak, you know, just to talk to. Being in a high-risk pregnancy is very stressful. So to be able to have someone to support you in that is essential when you're going through something that you've never experienced before. So we assist them with anything throughout the beginning of that process. And then if, in fact, it was birthed out of the loss of my daughter. So the essential part that we originally had was to help women that have lost children as a whole. And then we added the component of support during the pregnancy so that we can be there throughout the duration. So prayerfully, the pregnancy is you know, a successful pregnancy, and if in fact it's not, we help with the if there is a loss, we're there for to help you with funeral expenses if possible. We're there to help you with the burial process as a whole, and then wraparound services thereafter, so that we stay with you throughout the process, so that we stay with you after. So years later, we're still contacting you, making sure that you're okay. You still have a contact person. We still have resources, you know, just a support system that tries to make sure that we stay with you as opposed to just temporarily be a part of your life.
Okay. All righty. Very good. Very good. How long has your program been in existence?
Since 2008.
Okay. Since 2008. This is, this is what you're saying. Well, let me ask this. Do you provide training for pastors and ministry leaders, you know, where they're also able to help the grieving family, the mother and family, during this time in their life? Do you provide training for that?
We do have a goal to provide training for pastoral services so
mm-hmm.
that it not just with them, but it also with hospital staff with hospital staff and with pastors, they typically, unfortunately, go through this so much sometimes that they are numb to it. So like with a hospital, if you go into the hospital and my experience with going into the hospital and one of the staff was very, very abrupt in regards to mm-hmm. me saying that I was there for a sonogram to show that the baby had passed away. And her response to me was, well, obviously you're pregnant, so what's the problem? So that was very insensitive at a time when I was just advised that, you know, the baby had passed. So just being able mm-hmm. to provide training to staff to just advise them of how to handle certain situations and what may appear to be obvious mm-hmm. may not exactly be what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I thoroughly agree with you. We have a member of our church who lost her baby in the seventh month, I believe it was, of her pregnancy.
Yes,
and I didn't know, as a pastor, I did not know exactly how to comfort her and walk her through the grief of this. And then the personnel at the hospital also was extremely insensitive during that time. And she did attend a support group at the hospital, and it ended up that they asked her to speak to the doctors there, you know, in dealing with the sensitivity of something like this. Like you said, they become desensitized to it.
Yes,
so obviously, I think this is an excellent, excellent thing that you're doing. Excellent thing.
Thank you.
Awesome. And I know it's been a few years, but my condolences as well, you know, for the loss of your daughter. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
But out of that misery came this ministry, out of that.
Yes, ma'am.
And we do thank God that you use that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Now, one thing here that I liked when it said you support mothers and families. And I know during this time of lost children, especially when it's in the pregnancy stage, we have the tendency to focus on the mother and forget so much about the fathers. Totally forget that they too have suffered a loss. And so how do you work to include the fathers in what it is you're doing here?
So in regards to the fathers, what we try to do is make sure that we allow them to have a voice as well. We allow them to understand that you are not forgotten. We have them speak with other fathers that have lost children, and it can be at any age at all, because they mm-hmm. also need that same level of support. Men are already taught to holding your feelings and be the strength of your family and all of these things that they're taught. However, in that, what winds up happening is they suppress these emotions, and then they're not dealing with the grief. And, of course, that affects the relationship that they have with the mate that they get with, be it their wife or, you know, whomever that person is. And it manifests itself in another way. So it winds up being anger in some other way. And in addition to with the children, the siblings that would have been that child's sister or brother, big sister, big brother, down to the grandparents, the godparents, the aunts, the uncles, the friends, that one person that was planning a baby shower, you know, that one person that has already been in that person's life or that child's life, and taking on that responsibility as a caregiver or the help, that loss that they experience, while it's different from the mom, it is still very much a loss. And they're missed and forgotten oftentimes in not on purpose, but just in an effort kind of overshadowed to think about, okay, wait, you know, how are we handling and helping the dead? How are we handling and helping the siblings that are left behind to deal with this loss as well, because they don't really have a voice. So we're trying to give them a voice. We're trying to have a platform for them to be able to speak. We're having group sessions. We're having events for children where they can come out. And it's, you know, the children's events will wind up being like a very fun event. But somewhere in throughout the event, they may be doing a letter to their sibling. They may be doing a picture of what they felt their responsibility and their realities would look like. And now, how has this tragedy changed? And how are you dealing with mom? How are you dealing with and on all fronts? How is the dad dealing with the mom at this point? And the truth of what it is that you feel. Do you blame her? And if you do, let's have that conversation so that you're not having it with her negatively. You know, like it's those conversations that nobody wants to have. So we give you the platform and the permission to be honest and to take off the cape that we all wear, the superhero cape, and just be honest with everything that's happening in your life and what your reality looks like.
Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome. Minister Tabika would be able to share a little with the case that I just mentioned. Everything you said, we had the parents, we had the teenage siblings, the godparents, you know, everything, all of that was right there in our church, you know. And here I am, you know, like, Lord, help me to bring comfort. Yeah. Help me, you know, to walk people through this, something I have never experienced, you know, had no training on how to deal with this. And one thing that I definitely did learn, you know, like, you're even afraid to say anything, you know, to the parents, you know. You try to watch every word you say, afraid that it might bring up something that would cause pain or, you know, anything of that nature, you know, not taking in consideration, you know, like when Mother's Day came around right afterwards, you know, like how do you address this mother? You got these teenage boys that were expecting a sibling, you know, and they're grieving. And these are things, you know, that we didn't think about, you know, as we were walking through it. But, I mean, we learned from it. And thank God they were able to share with us, you know, that they were able to share with us. Like, I will never forget a father or a sibling, you know, going through this, you know, if this ever happens again. So it was an experience. Minister Tabika, do you have something you'd like to share with Minister Pamela, with Pamela?
Yes. First, I just wanted to say good morning and thank you for joining us today on the show. My question would be, so hearing that you support mothers and families that have lost children, and I know that we're talking about you know, mothers who lost children through pregnancies. What about mothers who have lost children from violence or mental illness, suicide, or anything like that? Would your program still be offered to them?
So, good morning, Minister Tabika, and that I'm so glad that you asked that question. So originally, it was birthed out of the loss of my daughter.
Pamela, hold on one moment, honey. You're muffled. You're muffled. Just try to readjust your phone or something and try again.
Yeah, I heard that too. It sounded like it was someone moving. Okay. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can. Thank you, dear.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you again, Minister Tazika, for asking that question, and good morning to you as well. The program actually was birthed out of the loss of my daughter as an infant. And what I realized is going through this process, the calls that I received were impactful in that it was a 3-year-old child. They were, 3-year-olds to 30 to any age that you can possibly think of. And what winded up happening is I could not reject those calls because they didn't parallel with my situation, because at the end of the day, we are all grieving. We were all, we've all experienced the loss. So yes, we absolutely minister to support anyone at all with any loss at any age, because that is what we all have, this almost like this club, if you will, that you don't want to be a part of, but that we're a part of. So we can't discriminate on when you became a part of this club. We just understand that we have this similarity, and that in that we all need the same help. We all need the same conversations. We all need to be able to support one another. So at any point, if you've lost a child at any age, we absolutely are. We welcome anyone.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I wanted to ask. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, you shared with us, the support system and so forth. Can you give us an example of one of the testimonies from one of the recipients of your program?
Mm-hmm.
And what? All right, I like that already.
So deep.
go ahead, love. Share with us a testimony.
Okay. So one of the most powerful testimonies is when my OBGYN asked me to create this foundation. I ran from it because it was very powerful. It was very big. It was huge, and I ran from it. And then what brought me back was actually a post on Facebook that I still don't understand how I received, but very quickly, my daughter's name is Blake, and I have a son named Cameron. So a post came across my Facebook page that said that there was a young lady named Adrienne that was praying for her son who was in hospital. So her son's name was Cameron Blake. So he's located in Baltimore, and then so when it came across, like, I go crazy. Like, what is happening, and who is this child, and who is this young lady? And so my page and my phone start blowing up because everybody recognizes these two names, not thinking Cameron's name is not Cameron Blake, but because I have Blake's Promise and they know Cameron, everyone is assuming that this is my son that this young lady is praying for. So essentially, we start this literal movement to locate Adrienne. So everyone in my church, I'm calling everyone in my church, I'm sending messages on Facebook, and we're trying to find her. And the only thing we know is what hospital she's in, but we don't know how to reach her. So she continues to post, but she's not responding to this particular post. So that was on a Friday. So by Tuesday, Adrienne winds it up. A person that was started a GoFundMe winds it up responding. However, she responded to my messages 3 hours after Cameron had passed away. So when she responded, of course, I was devastated, heartbroken, because I felt like our mission was to go pray for him, pray over him, and I felt like we missed this. And being a mom that had already lost a child, I felt like I just lost her again. I just failed at this mission to save a baby again. Somehow it was my responsibility, and I wasn't able to accomplish being able to pray for him in person. So what happened was that the young lady, she put me in contact with Adrienne, who was his mom. So Adrienne called me immediately, and the bond was immediate. So I did the entire funeral for Cameron. I bought his clothes. We went to every funeral home. We spoke with everyone. We did it together. That part was never a part of my mission. So we did the funeral. We did all of the preparation. We did the repast. We did everything that you could possibly imagine in regards to preparing for a service. And I didn't understand at the time why I would have to prepare for a baby service. I thought that was the most ludicrous things for me to be responsible for. However, apparently that was what I was gifted to do. So I took that, and I respected that that was what I was called to do. So we did that, and the funeral was amazing, and Adrian and I had this connection from that moment. And we, at this, that was 3-4 years ago. Adrian had another baby. Consequently, the baby was in ICU, born early. She called me, born at 24 weeks. I think she was 24 weeks. So he was born early. So when she called me and she said, I said, what is his name? And it was Isaiah Christian. And I started screaming. And she was like, what are you screaming for? I was like, because Rylan, who is my second child, his middle name is Christian. And the next morning she called me and said, when she texted me, she said, Christian is doing okay. I said, what? And she said, Christian was born early. But at the time she was only pregnant. So the first call was just about, oh my God, I'm in labor. And then it went to Christian is doing okay. Who is Christian? And she said, I named him Christian. So it our connection, our oh my God, it's amazing that this young lady that had a child originally that passed from such tragic circumstances, and that a Cameron brought us back together, a Blake brought us together and made me have to move in this, what I was running from, the calling that God had on my life, made me have to move into what I was called to do.
Amen. Amen. That is a powerful testimony, truly a powerful testimony. And I assume you two are still very much so in touch with one another.
Very much. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
Yes, Christian is born in January. So, yes, we are absolutely still in touch.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, you said that you help, you know, as far as funerals and so forth, and you help pay for Adrian's her first child's funeral. How is your program funded?
So we are funded through donations. Everything that we're doing is donations at this point. We are absolutely looking for grant writers. We are looking for any forms of grants that we can get, any forms of donations, scholarships, we accept anything at all. So if there's a funeral home that's willing to do any part of the service that would be able to help us, if there's someone that can donate clothes for the service for that person, if there's a limousine service that donates those services as well. So in any form of the burial, the even food, if you know at a repast you need food, you're never prepared to bury a child. So you're never prepared for funerals as a whole, but especially not to bury a child. So we try to help with anything in terms of the funeral cost financially, and we financially try to do as much as we can, and then go the step further and see if we can get any type of sponsorship to help with those other necessities that need to happen as well.
Okay, all right, excellent, excellent. Now, do you also have a website that people may go to?
So we do have a website, and to be very honest with you, I just revamped the entire website to bring it, because it was an older website, so I just revamped the entire website. So we have the same, all of the information on the website is the same. However, it's not up right at this moment, and again, that's only because they're in the middle of rebuilding it, but I certainly can give you all of that information whenever you're ready.
Okay. Let us have the website address. Let us have that.
Yes, ma'am. It's www.blakespromise.org.
Okay, Blake's placepromise.org. Okay.
Yes.
And that way if somebody contacts, you know, me, I'll have it listed here for them as well. Okay. All righty. And also, is there, since the website isn't up and running right at this moment, what other ways can folks get in touch with you?
The office number, cell phone number that's attached to the business is
443-824-0400. Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Okay. All right. And what do you have in store? Tell us, you know, what do you have in store in the near future for Blake's Promise?
Currently, we are doing an amazing women's conference on September 7th, and that conference is called Adjusting Your Crown. What we're doing at that conference is discussing all of the hurts that you've gone through and all of the masks that we put on as women and what is really behind what you see. So when we come out, we are amazing. We look wonderful. We look like we have it all put together, but no one really knows what went on before we walked out of the door, before we got out of the car. So having those discussions about what's really going on in our lives and those things that we're told to hold in and not have those discussions about, because that's normal and your grandmother went through this and everyone has gone through this, but how do we deal with it as women and how do we bond together and support one another? So we're having a conference where we're going to have those hard discussions. We're going to have those discussions where we're telling and exposing our truth in an effort to be able to help someone else and to be that that support to someone else. So behind, there was a conference for a first lady, I apologize, I don't recall her name, in Atlanta, and it was Behind the Lipstick. So it's the same mm-hmm. exact premise. What's behind your lipstick? What's behind the crown and all of the hats that we wear? And how do we effectively take care of us? As we're taking care of everyone else in the world, we put ourselves last. So how do we effectively take care of us and make sure we're making healthy decisions where we are also catering to those realities of depression, realities of abuse, realities of all of these things that are behind closed doors that we're not speaking about.
Amen, amen. Awesome, awesome. Very good, very good. And you are a woman truly on the move here. You also have another organization calling Breaking the Silence of Narcissistic Behavior. Breaking the Silence of Narcissistic Behavior.
Yes, ma'am.
And please tell us, what is narcissistic behavior? Could you please tell us, what is that?
Yes, ma'am. So to put it in layman terms, narcissistic behavior is someone that idolizes themselves, someone who manifests on themselves. They are sometimes considered conceited or egotistical or vain, self-centered, self-involved, very stuck up. Everything that they do, it revolves around them. Everything that they require or request is in gratification of themselves. So if they focus, everything is about whatever they're trying to accomplish. So if they're trying to get you to agree with them, then they are very, they're amazing at manipulating you into believing what they're saying. They are, if you disagree with them, then you're being disloyal as opposed to having an opinion. Their whole entire personality sometimes is mistaken for bipolar, or it's mistaken for moody, or this person, you know, is very moody, or one minute you're acting this way and one minute you're acting that way. But the entire, most of their movement, most of the things that they're doing is for gratification of what they're trying to accomplish. So that behavior manifests in so many different ways that it affects that person, their relationships, and then those people that are around them. And oftentimes it's not looked at as, okay, narcissism is not a familiar conversation that a lot of people are having or even understand. So once you understand it, you can identify, that's not bipolar, or that's not multiple personalities. That's not, that person is just moody or just a Gemini, for lack of better words. But you're able, because you know Geminis have those personalities as well. So you're able to deal with them and handle it accordingly and teach that person that this is what narcissism looks like. Look it up and then you know see if you fit the bill, and now let's deal with it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, amen, amen. Listen, folks, you are listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And today our guest is Pamela Blackman, who is the CEO and founder of Blake's Promise, Inc., and Breaking the Silence of Narcissistic Behavior. Remember, on Heart, we want to hear what is on your heart as well. So if you have a question for our guest or for either one of us, that's Minister Tabika and myself, if you have a question for us, please press 1 on your keypad, and it will notify us that you're in queue, and we will definitely bring you in on the conversation. And again, we thank you. Thank you so very much for being with us this morning. Okay, now, with the narcissistic behavior, what is it, breaking the silence of the narcissistic behavior, what is the purpose of it? What do you plan to accomplish with this program?
Through personal experience with this program, I've realized that once you've identified that a person in your life has narcissistic behavior, the first purpose is to make sure that this person understands that this is what your behavior looks like and this is what how it's affecting other people. So the first thing is to get them the help that they need and get them the understanding that what the way that they function is not a healthy way to function. So the first thing, the first piece of it is education, to educate this mm-hmm. person and to educate their family and their friends that this is a behavior that is unhealthy, perhaps in their mind is healthy for them because this is how they move and this is how they've always operated. For those people that are affected by this behavior, this is also how they, you know, are affected by them, and this is the negatives of this behavior. So educating families and wives and husbands when this is what this looks like and let's deal with it and let's, you know, have a conversation about how we can alter these behaviors and then how when you see this happening in your life or you see that you're doing it, that you take a step back and decide, okay, wait, let me look at this a different way or let me give a different perspective on how I'm viewing something. So awareness and being able to offset and change some behaviors, not train your mind to be able to think differently as we would do with anything else.
Okay. All right. Well, now let me ask this. When you have a person that has low self-esteem, they've dealt with rejection, rejection in the natural and also the very spirit of rejection and or abandonment, poverty, naming some of the things that people have dealt with, who have made up their minds that they will no longer deal with the pains of these things and therefore, you know, take on the attitude of I'm okay, I'm good, you know, they change their mindset to, I'm trying to get this right, they change their mindset to the place of people start seeing them as being selfish, egotistical, all of these synonyms that you use, you know, for a narcissistic person. This person who's really underneath this mask is one that's dealing with low self-esteem and abandonment and rejection, but yet they put on this facade, you know, that they're better than everybody else, they got it all together, and so forth and so on. Does that fit into this group you're speaking of?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It all speaks to everything that you just said. Yes, ma'am. It almost derived from that. It's almost when you see a person that has multiple personalities, or they have, they act very differently. That's because the person that was abused or the person that was hurt, there is a protection that comes up. That mentally, there's a protection that happens. So you protect yourself by way of attacking. It's a when a person sabotages a relationship before you can sabotage it. It's almost that same premise. It's in an effort to be able to protect you from hurting me. So it's derived from the hurt and the like you said, the abuse and the abandonment and all of these things that you've experienced in your life. That's typically that particular person. Now, that's not all narcissists, but that definitely plays a huge role in what develops as a narcissistic behavior.
Okay. All righty. All righty. Now, in this program, in educating folks on the traits and the behavior and understanding exactly how this disorder affects everybody around you, basically, you know, your entire family, those that you work with, et cetera, is there ongoing support with this, the same way you have with Blake's Promise? Are you having one-on-one counseling sessions with these people? How are you administering the program to folks?
So at this point, we are in the stages of finalizing all of the things that we want this program to look like. So we have had sessions where you just come to, let's say, Panera Bread, and we'll just have an open talk, an open conversation, and we're we may have there may be three people. And so we all are talking, it may be three ladies, and we're all having a conversation about a relationship. So relationships, they are where you're going to realize that this person has this behavior. So we'll have these conversations about, okay, this is your experience, this was my experience. Okay, how did you handle that? And what made you feel like this person has a narcissistic behavior? And once we've experienced, or once we've realized that that's what's happening, then let's talk about how we can help with this. So can we speak with that person? Can we educate this person on this is what this looks like? And this is also how this is affecting the person that we're talking to. So right now it's starting off with small groups and small conversations, conversations that's online. So I may pose a question online and say, does this sound like it's familiar to you? Does anyone that you know have these character traits? And if so, inbox me and let's have a conversation. So right now I'm compiling data. I'm compiling information so that we're able to provide circumstances, resources, and situations that look familiar, real-life situations that you can say, wait, you know, I can relate to that, as opposed to the book. You know, when you hear psychology, you're thinking in terms of the medical term, but we're thinking in terms of real-life realities and bringing it to the surface where everyone can relate. So the conversations, yeah, we're definitely attacking it as best we can.
Okay, amen, amen. Well, I can definitely see this program as well as the other one. I mean, I can just see that this is not something that's going to stay locally. I see this being something that will be global. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Yes. And as an apostle, please let me say that I decree and declare in the name of Jesus that this program shall go worldwide, and that you will have many people that you would have trained, and they will be able to help others in many countries, you know, as you go forth, that this will not be something that is on a small scale, but it will expand. And let's decree that finances will come in from every corner of the earth, that finances will come in to support this ministry so that it can go forth and do as God has appointed and anointed you to do, in Jesus' name.
Yes, God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Praise God. Yeah, amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. Minister Tabika, is there anything, beloved, that you would like to ask Sister Pamela?
Well, first of all, just the fact that this particular behavior, and she's focusing, and I just want to give you kudos for just focusing in on this particular behavior, because you really don't hear people talk about narcissism. I believe it's just a word that we hear at times that people may call somebody a narcissist and not really know what the definition of it is. But you're bringing awareness to this particular behavior, because we see it a lot, and we see it a lot in the in the entertainment industry. We see it a lot, and we don't address it. It's just, okay, something that's out there, and it's just what it is. And I just, you know, even the things that are on TV today, like the reality shows, and it's mostly, you know, with the women, of how we degrade one another, you know, how we talk about each other, and how we belittle one another, and, you know, how we make it, you know, all about us when it comes to these shows. And there's no sisterhood, and it's almost like it was the foundation of it is to have chaos and dysfunction and disagreements, because it keeps people watching it. But what they don't understand is that it creates something bigger in the spiritual realm. It does something to them spiritually that they don't even recognize or understand, because they're carrying jealousy, they're carrying envy, they're carrying unforgiveness, they're carrying hate, you know, they're carrying all these things with them, but they're not really focusing on what's going on, because, again, it's entertainment, it's TV, it's what they're getting paid to do. So,
yeah,
I just, you know, I just want to say thank you for just bringing, you know, this to light. I agree with Apostle Banks about, you know, your foundations and everything that you're being obedient to God. You're being obedient, and I believe that He will bless everything that you put your hands to do, because you are being obedient. And for the mere fact that you could have still ran from your calling, even when you saw that Facebook post and, you know, all of that, you could have still continued to run, but you didn't. And God is going to, you know, bless you and bless you mightily for, you know, just listening and being still and just, you know, embracing what He is trying to do through you. So, you know, I just want to say thank you for your obedience, because when we're obedient, we just never know who's watching and who's listening. And then, you know, if, you know, sharing your testimony, saying that you were running, and now when you decided to be obedient, how God has opened doors and how you've created, you know, you created relationships with people that you would have never, you know, met, even through social media. So even though sometimes we use social media in the wrong way, there are times when, you know, that's where a relationship may start, through social media. So God will create, you know, he will make connections in any way that He wants to, just to get our attention. So, yes, I just want to say, you know, to God be the glory for what you're doing, and just everything that is coming for you and your, you know, your family and those that are part of your Blake's Promise, and, you know, even just being an advocate. Just, you know, I just want to say, you know, just thank you, and continue, you know, to do what God has told you to do, even when He has told you to do something and it seems like something enormous and you're looking at it like, yeah, I don't know how this is going to take place. Just remember how He did this portion of it. So He's going to do it. When He tells you He's going to do something, He's going to do it, and He's going to make the provisions and the tools and the resources in order for you to get it done. So there are many more lives that you're going to reach and touch. So just continue to stay strong, and I just pray for your strength. I pray for endurance and perseverance, that you will continue to do the work of the Lord, even when it seems hard and impossible, that God is with you, and that anything that he tells you to do, he's going to make sure that you have everything you need to make that happen. So God bless you.
Oh, thank you so, so much.
Amen.
Thank you, man. The power between, the power to be able to make such pain and such tragedy, and for God to be able to allow me to use it in a, such a positive way to touch lives, is such an amazing testimony.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
You know, I just wanted to share that there's two more things here. I just wanted to share with you that as we are speaking here, and of course the three of us are located right here, you know, in the Gwin Oak area in Baltimore. And but the listeners that we have, of course, in the United States, but for this particular show, I know that we have Australian listeners, Canada, South Africa, and Ireland. Those are the places that mostly so far listens to this show. And so already your voice has reached out over these different countries already. And so we thank God for that. And I also wanted to encourage you to write your book. Write your book.
I'm writing it.
Oh, amen.
Oh, it's called Behind These Walls. It's called Behind These Doors. I'm writing it.
Amen. All right. Well, that's what the Lord was saying to me while Minister Tamika was speaking. You know, write your book. Write the book. Amen. Well, know that you know you definitely got God behind you with that. So praise be unto God.
Oh, thank
Amen.
You. Thank you, God.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Let me just pray real quick here. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you. We honor you. We bless you. God, I magnify your holy name because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Heavenly Father, you know this woman. You know her inside and out. You knew, Lord God, before she was formed in her mother's womb, Lord God, exactly what she would go through during this time, Lord God, in her life. You knew about the loss of Blake, Lord God, which may seem to as a loss, Lord God, in the natural eye, Father. It has been a blessing to so many of us, oh God, a blessing, Father, behind what was painful. I thank you right now as you continue to lead and guide Pamela, as you keep your hand on everything that she does, oh God. I thank you that what she does and doing it with your permission and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, oh God, that it shall prosper on every side. I thank you for families that are being restored, okay, being restored. I thank you for marriages that are coming back together where the enemy would use the loss of a child, no matter what age, oh God, would use this to cause separation and division. God, I thank you, Lord God, that through the ministry, Lord God, young men and women, Lord God, will bind up that spirit of anger within because they lost a sibling, Lord God, in whatever manner, Lord God, that they will not end up being a statistic, Lord, but they will become the men and the women of God that you have called them to be. I thank you, Lord God, that the book that she's writing, Father God, shall go beyond, Lord God, the premises of where we might imagine, oh God, but go all over the world. Lord God, will know exactly what to do, Lord God, to hear the testimonies, oh God, and know that there is hope. Lord God, we give you all the glory and the honor. We thank you for what you're doing in her life, for what you've done in her family, for what you're doing in the families that she's assisted already. And we thank you, Lord God, that with you being for her, who could be against her, oh God? So we bind up the hand of the adversary, everything, block anything that she has to do, Lord God. We bind it. We break the curses, generational curses, oh God. We break a spirit of fear, Lord God, of failure, Father. We break it. We curse it at the root right now and speak good success. Your word says good success, Lord God, which means there is a success that is not good. But we speak good success over this woman's life, Lord God, over everything that she touches, oh Lord God. Let it be done unto you for your glory, God. And we shall never forget to give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' awesome, magnificent name, amen and amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Well, beloved, we thank you again. We have come to the end of our time, and I'm sure we're going to have you back on here again. So thank
Amen.
You for taking the time
Amen.
To be with us. Amen. You be encouraged,
oh, thank
woman
you for
of
blessing
God.
Me.
Amen, amen. Honey, enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you.
You as well. God bless you all.
You
amen.
Too.
And to our listeners, God bless you. We'll meet you all back here again next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And don't forget to share with a friend. For this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.